Hello and welcome back to 3CR. You're listening to Green Left Radio. And a big welcome to William Briggs, a regular contributor to Green Left, both radio and in the paper form. Thanks for joining us this morning, William.
Absolute pleasure.
Now, this morning we're going to talk about the sort of Ukraine conflict that we've been focusing with you over the last sort of couple of weeks, but also just the broader sort of trend of militarism and how that's sort of shaping geopolitics in this unipolar world that always seems to be beset by conflict. But I guess to start off with, recently, and this focuses really on your article, in a speech to the Lowy Institute, Scott Morrison described quite an arc of autocracy that challenges our freedoms and which, you know, we as liberal democracies must be ready to fight for. Now, this sort of parallels, you know, this sort of rhetoric that's been prominent from the West for quite some time, you know, George Bush's axis of evil, and this sort of existential fight to protect liberal democracy. Now, how do you analyse this latest sort of these latest comments by Scott Morrison, and how does it all tie into the militarism that he's trying to promote?
Thanks very much. And it is you must admit, it is a beautiful expression, the arc of autocracy, and it does almost whenever the going gets really tough, our leaders, whether they be American, British, or Australian, aim for the statesman-like Churchillian statement. But this one is interesting, and it sort of implies that there is a some sort of threat, a threat to us here, and that we are in danger from some sort of hideous cabal that's going to come and sweep across. And to begin with, there is a threat. I would absolutely categorically state that there is a threat, but it isn't from Russia. Certainly not from Russia. In fact, we've been looking for one ever since the Crimean War, 19th century, the little gun emplacement put up in harbours all over the country ready for the Russians to come. And we've been waiting for them pathetically ever since, and they never quite got here. And they're not coming this time either. So there's no threat from Russia. There's no threat from China, nor has there ever been, nor from some mystical arc of autocracy. But the threat that we do face is one that is being promoted by the Morrisons and the Albanese in this country, the threat of a capitalism that is in absolute deep crisis. That is where freedoms are being threatened. And if you just, anybody, just look around just for 5 minutes, you'll see the evidence. People are really struggling. Poverty, insecurity is everywhere. And deeply concerning for the ruling class is that faith in the actual electoral system is at an all-time low. And that is where the threat, not so much to us, but to them, lies. Because governments, if they're going to survive in any form, need a sense of legitimacy to do so. There's a social contract. We give you the right to govern us. You give us some tangible thing in return. But that is clearly not happening. That tangible thing of a reasonably secure life for ourselves, our children's lives might be slightly better than our own, things that we built our whole lifestyles around for 100 or 200 years has just been shattered. And whenever economic times become tough, governments always, and Australia particularly here, falls back on fear of the other, fear of the unknown. Mostly in our case, China, and almost inevitably communist. And it just occasionally you get that absolute beautiful quinella, China and communism in the same sentence. And that's what's happening here. And even one famous occasion, Indonesia, was going to be our great existential threat. And threats are always wheeled out whenever there is a threat to economic stability. Now, as I say, people are struggling and economic times are bad. And threats are always found, drumbeat become louder. I can remember a time not that long ago, not that many decades ago, I suppose when issues like nationalism, like national symbolism, like Anzac Day and all that stuff that went with it, had receded very much into the background. The state didn't need it because economic times were good. Now, God only knows what the hype's going to be like this Anzac Day when we are drumming into our kids the fact that Australian soldiers in various wars from Gallipoli on have done this to save our particular freedom. Now, we've never had any threat in any external form to this country since the end of World War II. And yet, our government, previous governments, and successive governments have marched us off to fight in US interests, have passed this off as being in our interest, our national interest. And our leaders, when they're putting on those clothes of statesmanship, will always talk they're doing this to preserve and protect our national interest. Now, what is even more appalling in all this is the overlap of militarism that gets overlaid over the whole thing. And it's been passed off as industry policy. Now, for Australia to talk seriously about becoming number 10 in the world as an arms trader is appalling. And in most recent times, which was part of the announcements with the Lowy speech, the nuclear submarine base, this is heralded as somehow being an economically sound thing. It's just totally absurd. Now, the Ukraine issue, of course, has added fuel to this fire, but it's a fire that's been blazing for decades now in this country. Our militarisation of Australia, the development of the military-industrial complex, the militarisation of the region that Australia has played such a significant role in at the behest of the United States is the thing that really does threaten our freedom. So that's by way of introduction, I suppose.
Thanks, William. It's Sue here. Just wondering if you could expand a little bit on the last point you're making, in particular about the fact that the Australian government wants Australia to become one of the leading arms manufacturers in the world, but also the scale of recent announcements about increase in military spending in Australia. And the way in, you know, obviously you've made this point already about, the government's using the war in Ukraine to help justify that increase in spending. But if you could talk a little bit about the scale of the increase in spending and the arms dealing that the government is trying to push.
Thanks. As I say, look, Australia has put billions of dollars into creating the wherewithal to become that exporter. But not content with that, and that's bad enough as it is, to actually seriously consider that this is a good economic policy. They've committed Australia to phenomenal increase in military capacity. Now, this started in 2016 with the called the Defence White Paper. There's going to be a defence budget rise between 2016 and 2026, that's just 10 years, of 80%, 80% rise, which is hugely extravagant in anybody. We have now tipped the 2% of GDP for arms and the military for armament, for the army, which puts us in amongst the big league. Interestingly enough, it put our military spending as GDP ahead of the UK and just in passing considerably more than China, although admittedly their economy is a wee bit bigger than ours. Their GDP spending on the military is 1.7%. We are now 2.1%. This had to be justified. To sell this to the people is not an easy task. So you sell it with threat. You sell it with the problem of Chinese assertiveness. Now, those in positions of power, you know, ignore the fact that this about our spending is just growing and growing and growing exponentially, and why. It doesn't matter to them that there is a myth that they are perpetuating. because they're working on the principle always that if you control the media, you control the mind, control the mind, you can do pretty well what you like. So that there are always these dangerous forces, always massing just over the horizon, and they must be controlled, contained, and fought. And it's in this context that the Australia-US alliance becomes a permanent fixture. It's impossible to imagine that it can be broken.
Just speaking of myth there, and this is probably the last question we have time for, the sort of a rules-based international order as, I guess, the centre of the international relations system has been brought up a lot during Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. How do you view this rules-based order? Is it actually something that's adhered to, or as we've, you know, arguably seen in the past few decades, something that's frequently broken, including by Western governments?
Yeah, it is. There is a rules-based order, and it's US rules, okay. And it's a simple, it's a short version, but to slightly extrapolate a little bit, we're given this really simplistic view of the world, that there are good guys and bad guys, fellas in the black hat, fellas in the white hat. And the forces of good have, and I quote Morrison just briefly here, this rules-based international order has been built on the principles and values that guided our own nation and which has for decades supported peace and stability and allowed sovereign nations to pursue their interests free from coercion. Now, that is such an indictment of the people who promote the idea of a rules-based order. This rules-based order that keeps us free from coercion has drenched the world in blood. The United States have either directly militarily or through the CIA or through buying off opposition figures, changed governments, altered regimes, crushed people's movement everywhere in the world. It is, and this concept that is so admired by the West, regardless of whatever party happens to be in power, tries and actually gets away with it at times to confect this aura that it means, but it simply means the US sets the rules and the world, if it knows what's good for it, abides by those rules. And Biden, since he came to power, has made this abundantly clear time and time again to not just his perceived enemy, but his alleged friend, Australia, is his closest ally. United States props up to the extent of 20% or more of all of their foreign direct investment, which a capitalist state must have. And he's made it clear that it's not a good bet to bet against the US. So letting us know that if we continue any reasonable relationship with China, they can pull the plug at any moment. And as he keeps on saying, America is back and it will lead the world. Lead it where is another matter. But the rules-based order is just such an act of hypocrisy. We talk about an arc of autocracy. Well, this is just so much hypocrisy. The liberal, democratic, capitalist regimes of the world there to protect freedom. It's just clearly nonsense.
That's very well put, Will, and we might leave it there. Thanks again for joining us. It's much appreciated, and I'm sure we'll be speaking to you soon again.
Thanks.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, William.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks.